Welcome to Variant Frequencies. Month to month, our podcast brings you fiction stories from a different channel. Sci-fi, fantasy, horror, and some odd bands in between. Visit us at www.variantfrequencies.com. This episode of Variant Frequencies contains two stories. Both stories are written by Ann Stringer and narrated by Stacey Griffith. Our first story is titled, Any Other Name.
It's bumper to bumper on the 10, and the eastbound 405 is a mess thanks to a fender bender in the number 1 and 2 lanes. Looks like this will take a while to clean up. Commuters are advised to take an alternate route this morning.
That's just great. Betsy stopped listening as she searched for an opening to make a lane change. She glanced at the car's radio dial, as if the 405 isn't bad enough all by itself. The baby kicked, a sensation that never failed to bring a smile, and it worked even now. She placed a hand over her swollen abdomen. 8 weeks to go. That was the reason for this little outing. She was on her way to the doctor's office where an ultrasound test would tell her the gender of the baby she carried. She hadn't told her husband she was doing this. He was of the opinion that they should find out when the baby was born, like the good Lord intended. She rolled her eyes. The man was an idiot. The longer they were married, the dumber he got. Take his reaction when she told him she wanted to name the baby Casey. He got this puzzled look on his face and said, Casey? Like Casey at the bat? No joy in Mudville, that Casey? Idiot. She liked the name, she'd explained. Lots of little girls were named Casey. She'd sighed impatiently. What would he like to name a baby girl? Something pretty, feminine. Like Rosemary or Marianne. Marianne, honestly, what century was he living in? There was a slim opening in front of a Jaguar and she took it. You could always cut in front of those expensive luxury cars. They'd back off quick. Didn't want to risk the tiniest scratch. It was funny if you thought about it. They thought they were so tough, hot shots showing off their wealth, but they'd back down from a little Ford Focus. She could see the driver glaring at her in her rearview mirror, and it almost made her laugh. He'd probably let her name the baby Casey, though. And he obviously had money. She should have married a guy who drove a Jag. What if it's a boy, he'd asked. Osmond, she'd replied. He didn't say anything after that. One more lane to cross, then she could exit before she got stuck in the clot up ahead. She'd have to maneuver side streets, but she'd worry about that once she was out of this mess. She flipped on the turn signal and nosed over, but a Honda zipped by and cut her off. She couldn't believe the arrogance of Honda drivers and their stupid little cars acting like they owned the road. There was a gap in the flow of vehicles after the Honda, and she slid smoothly into it. Just in time for the exit, she congratulated herself. Let all these morons get stuck. She jumped the little car into the exit lane. Betsy didn't even see the Dodge Ram 3500 mega cab that sped illegally up the shoulder. It slammed into the rear quarter panel of her little car, crumpling it like foil, before reducing the rest to an unrecognizable twisted wreck. She was lying curled on her side. There was something in her nose, something that smelled of plastic and antiseptics and blew a stream of air. It irritated her and she wanted it gone, but she couldn't get her hands to work. The right one was fastened down somehow and she couldn't move it at all. The left was free, but she couldn't manage anything beyond lifting it feebly and waving it around. The white noise sound of hissing air surrounded her, but beyond that, she could make out rhythmic beeps and dings. A hospital, then. She remembered the accident, the terrible jolt, screeching metal, shattering glass, the flash of pain that raked her entire body. After that, nothing until now. She supposed that was a good thing. Her head wouldn't even lift or turn. She had never felt so weak and hoped it didn't mean she was paralyzed. Feeling the sting of an IV in her hand, finding she could wiggle her toes. Those were good signs, she hoped. She finally managed to open her eyes, but it was difficult to make them focus in the dim light. Funny that. She always thought they used glaring lights in the hospital. Something entered her limited field of vision and she strained to see. Hands. But they were impossibly huge and she screamed in startled terror. Shh, she heard. A stranger's voice. Female. It's okay. Is she all right? That was her husband's voice. Thank God somebody was here who knew her. She relaxed. She knows your voice, the woman said. Yeah, well, I used to talk to her sometimes before... You know. He sounded embarrassed. What the hell was that supposed to mean? Would you like to hold her? Oh, no, that's okay. I wouldn't want to hurt her, he replied quickly. She's stronger than she looks. I'll help you, all right? Well, okay. Obviously reluctant. What was the matter with him? He never worried about hurting her before. And why would a nurse want him to hold her? The huge hands shifted her, then slid under her and lifted her right off the bed. Her arms flung out and she cried out in sudden fear of falling. Then she was nestled into very big, very strong arms. Wide-eyed, she looked up into her husband's face. Talk to her, the woman's voice urged gently. What should I say? It doesn't matter. Premature babies aren't usually awake very much. She should just hear your voice. Hi, Betsy, he said. His gaze uncertain, fearful, met hers. Your mama wanted to name you Casey. Weird, huh? But she's not here now, so I guess it's okay if I call you Betsy. I don't think she'd mind anymore. It's just you and me now, kiddo. I'm so sorry for your loss, the woman's voice said quietly. She wanted to tell him she was Betsy. She was his wife. He was an idiot! But all she could do was cry.
And now it is time for our second story by Anne Stringer, titled Evelyn.
I had this really weird dream last night. I'm walking with my mom to school, and I'm not talking to her. She thinks it's because I'm mad that she still insists on walking me like I'm some retarded little kid, and I am. Mad at her, not retarded. But it's mostly because I'm thinking about this dream. In it, it's like I was her and she was me, I guess. Dreams are kind of confusing, but anyway, I was watching her go in school like it was far away, and I couldn't go in there because I didn't belong anymore because I was grown up, and I was scared of her, for me. It doesn't make much sense now that I think about it. We passed that old lady on Pine Street, out there with her smokes. She looks really sad and lonely. I'd like to say hi just to be nice, but my mom would freak. Like she's a puppy that would follow me home and we'd never get rid of her or something. She's a stranger, and you can't ever talk to strangers. The school nurse talked to us about smoking one time. We even got to see what a smoker's lung looks like compared to a non-smoker's lung. She had real lungs in a jar. It was so gross. I know I'll never smoke. I know my mom smokes. She thinks I don't know because she never does it when I'm around. How dumb does she think I am? I can smell it in the house and on her. I even found her cigarettes in a drawer one time. I took one and hid it in my room. I tried to talk to her about it, told her about the nurse and the lungs, but she told me to go do my homework. We get close to school, and I can see some of my friends. I hope they don't see me, but I'm sure they do. I bet they talk about me when I'm not around. I bet they're talking about me now, walking with my mom. Sometimes I try sneaking out when she's not looking, but she's always looking. She watches me all the time. She's so paranoid. I mean, what does she think is going to happen in this dumb neighborhood? Can't she see I'm growing up now? A policeman came to school and talked to us about strangers. She showed us stuff we could do if somebody tried to grab us, and we practiced it. They even teach us a little karate in PE, and they told us not to fall for it if some guy tells us he's got candy or a puppy in his car. Some pervert tries something, I'm going to be ready. I'll kick him in the nuts and punch him in the nose. Anyway, that stuff never happens around here. It's safe and boring. The most exciting thing that ever happened was when my best friend's brother got caught looking at porn on the internet. They don't know, but we sneaked in his room and we saw it too. It was the most disgusting thing ever. At least, Mom doesn't walk me all the way to the door. That would be so embarrassing. It's bad enough as it is. Have a good day, Evie, she says when she stops and I keep going. I wish she'd stop calling me Evie. Evelyn is my middle name, just like hers. Nobody else calls me that. I hate it. It's a baby name. She's out there every morning when I walk my daughter to school. Evie doesn't like it much, me walking with her. Almost every day she asks me to let her go by herself. It's embarrassing to have my mom walking with me. The other kids will think I'm a big baby, she says. Please, Mom. But she's only 10 years old. I know she's not a baby. But I also know what can happen to children when nobody is there to watch them. There was that little boy in New York a long time ago, the little girl in Texas that the Amber Alerts are named for, one in California, one in Utah, all on the news. 6 years old, 8 years old, 14, it doesn't really matter. They can be stolen away and terrible things can be done to them. Sometimes they're never found. I couldn't live with that. I know I couldn't. It's because of people like her, the one who's out there every morning. I don't know how old she is. She looks like she's had a hard life, though. Like she's not as old as she looks. I don't know if it's drugs or mental problems or what. Her hair is stringy and gray. I'm not sure if she has all her teeth. We don't get close enough to tell, but she doesn't look very clean. I can imagine she smells bad. Clothes don't match very well. How did she ever let herself get like this? It's not so tough taking care of yourself, after all. Usually she sits on the curb and smokes. It's just a regular neighborhood, you know? Just houses, working class. Pretty nice, nothing special, though. She's really out of place. She must live on this street because she's there every morning with her cigarettes. She can't be living in her own house because why would she have to go outside to smoke if that was the case? It must be adult foster care or a halfway house or something, though there are no signs to indicate any such thing. I think she watches the kids walking to school. Even if it's snowing, she's out there. And so I walk with Evie and I watch the woman with the cigarettes. One time she had her head down, kind of between her knees, as she sat on the curb, and I wondered if she was even awake. Then I saw her vomit, right there on the street. It was really disgusting. She probably drinks, too. Maybe I'm paranoid, but I'm not going to take a chance. I don't walk Evie all the way to the door. I stop when the school is about a half a block away where I can see the door and stay there until I see Evie go in. Then when school lets out, I'm there in the same place, watching for her to come out. My mother did exactly the same thing when I was a little girl. I remember thinking she was overprotective, and it was terribly embarrassing to be seen with her walking me to school every day like some kindergartner. I got over it. I understand it now. Bad things happen, believe me. I know. I watch as she walks through the red door in the school. Only then can I finally relax. I walk back home for a cup of coffee and a cigarette. Salem 100s calm my nerves. It's my only vice. I only smoke two a day and never in front of Evie. I wouldn't want her to take it up. I suppose someday I'm going to have to let her go, but not yet. Not today. It's getting harder all the time. I only manage it a couple of times a day now, these cigarette breaks. It's sad the effort it takes to put a coat on and go outside, sit at the curb and light up. One of the few pleasures I have left, really. First thing in the morning when I get up, but it's getting colder now. Winter's coming fast. Breathing that cold air makes my lungs hurt. Evie won't let me smoke inside the house, though. I don't blame her, really. She says I shouldn't smoke at all, and she's right. Well, what would be the point of quitting now? Years ago, it might have done me some good before the cancer set in. It's too late now. My doctor sent me to the oncologist. They did some tests and told me it's terminal. They could do some chemo and radiation, buy me a little more time. I quit that after one treatment, though. The medicine was worse than the cancer. Made me sick as a dog. There I was, outside on the curb with my cigarette, weak as a kitten, puking on the pavement. Never went back to the oncologist. I feel better now, though the way my breath comes short sometimes makes me realize the tumors are still there. Evie scolds me about it. I know I'm a burden on her, though. I suppose it's a good thing it'll be over soon. I didn't really want to come live with her, but what else could I do? Anyway, her house, her rules, I smoke outside. Salem 100s. It does give me a chance to see the little kids on their way to school. It brings back a lot of memories for me. The neighborhood school is the oldest one in town. It's been standing for over 100 years. It's the very same school I went to. I used to be that little girl, the one walking with her mom. Well, not so little now. She's nearly as tall as her mother. I know they see me. The look on her face, she must think I'm a bag lady or something. The girl tries to pull away. Most kids are walking by themselves long before they're that big, but this one doesn't. Believe me, I understand that kind of caution. I did it myself when Evie was little. Walked with her on these very streets watched her go into that very same school. She had the same angry look on her face about it. But see, there was nobody who cared enough to walk me when I was a little girl. At least, that's how it seemed. There was this one time some older boys stopped and pulled me into their car. I wasn't much older than that girl. The one with her mother, I'd guess. They drove around and held on to me in the back seat, and they did things. None of it was rape, technically speaking. After a while, they stopped, right back where they picked me up, and they pushed me back out and drove off. I threw up, right there on the curb. The sickness from the chemo made me think of it. I ran home, told my mom I was too sick to go to school, and went to bed. I never told a soul what happened. Then when I grew up and had a daughter of my own, I walked her to school every day, just like that mother, the one who watches me like I'm some kind of deviant criminal. I act like I don't notice, but it hurts my feelings. I'm just a sick old woman, for heaven's sake. I was her watching over a child who didn't want watching. I wouldn't hurt a fly even if I could. I inhale the smoke and the cold air deep into my lungs. It makes me cough a little. And I wonder if I'll make it till spring. If I could go back. If I could be that little girl again. I'd do some things differently. That's for sure.
Thank you for listening to Any Other Name and Evelyn by Ann Stringer. We also want to thank Stacey Griffith for her fine narration of these stories. Please visit us at www.variantfrequencies.com. There you can learn some of the story behind our stories on Variant Frequencies.
It is known throughout the academic world, the medical world, it is known throughout the Air Force, and above all, it is known throughout the CIA, that the air intelligence has in its possession a spacecraft.
For your weekly dose of the strange and the paranormal, join us on the Mysterious Universe podcast at www.sohpodcast.com or simply search for Mysterious Universe in your favorite podcast directory.